Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, the first Sunday of January, January the 5th, 1986. January 5th, 1986. We trust this service will be a real uplift to your life. God bless you. Youth choir to sing for us, and God bless them as they sing. Appreciate our youth and trust the Lord richly to bless them as they go back downstairs for their children's church. I'd like to read a poem that Brother P.H. Combs wrote. If you were here at our watch night service, I typed one of Brother Combs' poems in the bulletin for our watch night. And this one here is entitled, What Will the New Year Bring? Will it bring peace of mind to the souls that are out in sin? May their hearts with wonder and joy let Christ the Lord come in. May they receive Him as their Savior for the debt He came to pay. When He died on Calvary's cross, for everyone He paved the way. May the grace of God our Father, the name we love so dear, linger in our minds and ponder all throughout the coming year. As we strive to do Thy will of our Lord each day, may we grow in faith and grace and not forget to pray. Life is but a narrow veil that beyond we cannot see, but we can know our Lord and Savior, the One who died for you and me. I trust 1986 will be a year in which we spend some more time in God's Word. If you have a copy of the Daily Bread for the December, January, February issue, it has in the, just before January begins, it has a copy of Read Your Bible Through in 1986. And there's some back there on the table, I believe. If you'd like to get one of those, you may. And let's read God's Word this year, the year of 1986. Before Brother Tom comes to lead us in another hymn, I would like to mention these prayer requests and have a word of prayer together. I was in the funeral home for three different services this past week. Three different individuals who are now in eternity. We want to remember today Macy Fields' family, Byron Caudill's family and Brother Flincham and his family in the homegoing of their loved ones. Also, I just learned this a day or two ago. Elmer Davis, who runs the Elmer Davis service station in Hazard, will be going to Lexington tomorrow. Elmer has cancer. And that like to floored me. I've been trading with him over 20 years, I guess. And I know God's going to bless him and his wife and his children. Let's breathe a word of prayer this week for him and the needs that he has. I don't know if he's ever trusted the Lord yet or not, but I know that God is able to strengthen him and to bless him and to be with him during this time. Let's remember our missionaries that are scattered throughout 105 countries around the world, and many of them in difficult places, who are giving out the word to those who are in need. Brother Lester Parsons will be coming out of the hospital, I believe, Tuesday. Let's be praying for him as he journeys on to his home here in Prairie County. We know God's certainly able to bless him and supply his need. Also, each of these others listed here in the bulletin. I had a good long talk with Lafer Giles up at the funeral home the other night. Lafer is a blessing. Even though he can't see physically, he travels to Corbin 3 days a week for treatments. Layford is a blessing to me and everyone who knows him. Let's continue to pray for him. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we're thankful today for loving us. Lord, we lift up each of these that have been mentioned, as well as others listed here in the bulletin, Lord. We know you're able to meet every need as they would look to thee. We thank thee we serve a God who is able to answer prayer. We lift up especially, Lord, this morning, Elmer Davis. Lord, you know his deep need at this time, and we just commit him into your hands, Lord, and may through this he come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior and Lord. Father, we thank thee for this service that we're in now, and we just pray for each and every one who's here. Especially we pray for our visitors, Lord. May they have a wonderful blessing today, as well as each one of us, as we fellowship together around this precious Word of God that we're going to give out in a moment. Thank thee for all you're going to do. We just lift up, Lord, our church and each individual Christian here, that we'd be the light that we should be in this year, that we'd be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We thank thee for all you're going to do in the lives of these who have lost loved ones. We just pray for each one. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Hey, for our last hymn, let's turn to page 304. Let's stand and sing first, second, and fourth stanzas of Higher Ground, 304.
I'm pressing on. Praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my
In prayer, please.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege, Lord, of coming to your house. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless our services today, that if there's someone that's lost or troubled, that something said, Lord, will touch their heart in a special way. We pray, Lord, if there's someone that's not in our services that needs our prayers and our love, that something said, Lord, will cause them to be placed on their hearts. We just pray, Lord, that you would be with us and bless this offering, Lord, that it would be used to lift up and to praise the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Looking up the cross.
We did record the watch night service, the singing, and Brother Artie's message. And if you'd like to have a copy, just check with me after church, and we have plenty of blank tapes. And if you'd like to have a copy of it, you let us know. Gardner sang about 20 minutes or so, probably, and on Tuesday night. And the Bowers family from Camp Nathaniel were with us. Had a wonderful time of fellowship. Today we'd like to entitle our message, actually the title of a song that is page 117 there in your songbook. What a Wonderful Savior. During the month of January, as I said, we're going to be preaching from the book of Hebrews. With next Sunday being an exception, we're going to be preaching on witnessing next Sunday. Hebrews is a wonderful book. I believe it is as inspired as John 3:16 or any other verse or book of the Bible. Hebrews is our January Bible study book this year, and what a book this is. 13 chapters in this book. There's one word that is in the book of Hebrews 13 times. And that is the word better. In fact, it's in the book of Hebrews one time here in the verses we're going to be reading. Turn to chapter 1 of Hebrews. And let's read the first four verses. It says, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The first four verses of Hebrews is one sentence. There are not any periods until you get to the end of verse 4. What a sentence that is. As I said, we'd like to entitle our message, What a Wonderful Savior. The book of Hebrews is about Jesus. And how much better he is than the sacrifices of the Old Testament. How much better he is than the priest of the Old Testament days. He is our great high priest, who has passed into the heavens. What a wonderful Savior. I'd like to read the four stanzas of page 117 there in your songbook. It's entitled, What a Wonderful Savior. Christ has for sin atonement made. I am redeemed. The price is paid. What a wonderful Savior. I praise him for the cleansing blood that reconciled my soul to God. What a wonderful Savior. He cleansed my heart from all its sin, and now he reigns and rules therein. What a wonderful Savior. He gives me overcoming power and triumph in each trying hour. What a wonderful Savior. And then the chorus says, What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Elisha Hoffman knew what he was doing when he wrote that song. What a wonderful Savior. The writer of Hebrews brags on Jesus. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, It says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. During the late 1800s, there was an English preacher by the name of Henry Morehouse who made several trips here to America to preach. And when he was here one time, he met a little boy who was coming out of a store. And this little boy had a pitcher of milk. And he slipped and fell and broke the pitcher, spilled the milk. And they tried to put the pitcher back together again, but they couldn't. And the little boy said to Henry Morehouse, "My mommy is going to thrash me when I get home." And he started crying. You know what Brother Morehouse did? He picked up that little boy and took him and bought him a new pitcher. And then went to the dairy store and had that pitcher washed and had milk put back in it. And he carried that little boy and the pitcher home to his mom. And Henry Morehouse said, "Now will your mommy whip you?" And the little boy had a wide smile. He said, "Oh, no, sir, because it's a lot better pitcher than we had before. This is what Jesus has done for us. Where grace abounded, where sin abounded rather, grace did much more abound. God's grace will meet your sin and wash your sin away as His precious blood is applied to your life." The Bible says, "Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled." You know what grace is? Grace is everything for nothing for those who don't deserve anything. I praise the Lord today for God's grace. My mom and dad had 11 children. They raised us on an old hillside farm down on Camel's Creek. My mom and dad's first child was named Grace. My oldest sister, she helped raise some of us younger ones, helped mom raise us and take care of us. Thank God for His grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior. There are two key verses today are going to be found in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, and they say this: "And He, Jesus, is before all things, and by Him all things consist or hold together. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence." My prayer for you, my prayer for myself today is that during 1986, the Lord Jesus Christ will have first place. That's what the word preeminence means. The Lord wants to have first place in my life, in your life. I believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. His name is not mentioned anywhere in this book, the 13 chapters. But I believe he wrote this book. I know it's inspired and errant. It is God's word, no matter who wrote it. But every book that Paul wrote before this, the first word of that book is Paul. Almost without exception. But here in Hebrews, the first word of this book is God. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Here the writer is saying there were prophets back in the Old Testament. God spoke through prophets in the Old Testament: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jonah, Nahum, all those other men back there in the Old Testament, God spoke through them. And that's as inspired as any of the New Testament is. I believe in all the Bible. And we can look in the Old Testament today and get some lessons from the Old Testament. I'm glad today that the Bible says, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. The psalmist wrote that in Psalm 40. We should be singing during 1986, singing the praises of the Lord. God spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. But notice verse 2 of chapter 1 of Hebrews. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. I believe since Jesus was here on this earth, we have been in the last days, the last times. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son almost 2,000 years ago, up until 1985, right now, 1986. He's spoken unto us by His Son. The first four books of the New Testament give the life, the preaching, the teaching, the healing that Jesus did, His death on the cross of Calvary, His resurrection. All four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell about His death and about His burial and His resurrection. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. You know, I'm glad we can magnify the Lord today. Each one of us during this year, we need to lift up Jesus. He is worthy of being lifted by our church, by us as individual Christians. He's spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. You know, the book of Romans, chapter 8, it says that we're heirs of God and we're joint heirs with Christ. God has appointed Jesus heir of all things, by whom He made the worlds. You that are reading the Bible through in 1986, when you got to the last part of chapter 1, it says, "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Before you can have us, you must have more than one person, right? I believe that Jesus lived back in Genesis. In fact, the Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Talking about Jesus, by whom He made the worlds. John 1:3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Paul wrote in Colossians, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." You know, there are some things that are invisible. God made the air that we breathe. We can't see it. I believe God even established gravity. We can't see gravity. But you've tested gravity, no doubt. Don't test it too much. Visible things and invisible things God created. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. For by Him were all things created. There's also a verse or two, other verses here in the book of Colossians. Chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. It says, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church. This is our key verses for today. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence, that He might have first place. I know this, friends, if you and I put the Lord first in this year, Everything else is going to fall right in place, right where it should. I know that. Let's put Him first. And then notice in the third verse it says, of Hebrews 1, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. I believe this verse right here teaches us the deity of Jesus. Jesus was not just a great man. He was not just the great healer, the great teacher. He was God in the flesh. Philip asked Jesus one day in John 14, he said, "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And Jesus looked at Philip and said, "Have I been such a long time with you, and yet you've not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and the Father are one." I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Trinity. Jesus was just as much God as God the Father is God, as God the Holy Spirit is God. God the Holy Spirit lives within our hearts. The third person of the Trinity. The Bible says that when we know the Lord, when we come to know Him, we are sealed until the day of redemption. He has given us the earnest of the Spirit. Thank God today for Jesus. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, up on the top of what's called the Mount of Transfiguration, there Jesus was transfigured before the disciples. And Moses and Elijah came down and talked with Jesus about His upcoming death. He was transfigured. His raiment shined as the light. And Peter wanted to stay up there all the time. You know, we can't stay on the mountaintops all the time. There are some valleys the Lord takes us through. And so, there was a voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." And they had to go back down in the valley where there were problems. But there on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus showed forth His glory, His glorified body, even before He died and was resurrected. In John chapter 14, and verse 9, a verse that I mentioned a while ago, Jesus says to Philip, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet you've not known me?" You believe this? Who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. Someone said to me the other day, and I appreciated this. Someone said to me, "The older you get, the more you look like your dad." I take that as a great compliment. My dad's been with the Lord almost 16 years now. My friend, the older you and I get, the more we should resemble the Lord. You know what they said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13? It says that they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. How long has it been since someone saw the Lord in us? By the attitude that we have. By the things that we have said. Paul said in Colossians 1:19, "For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." Colossians 2:9, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." This is why it says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." When Jesus went back to heaven, He said, "I'm going to pray the Father, and He'll give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever." There he was talking about the Holy Spirit, who may be knocking on your heart's door today, wanting to be admitted. The last part of chapter 1 and verse 3 says, He upholds all things by the word of His power. The Lord has not lost one ounce of His strength. I saw a verse almost every day the last 2 years I went to college. I hope this verse is still on the wall down there. It says, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday in the past, today, the present, and forever, the future. I don't believe that Jesus has lost an ounce of His strength. I know He hasn't. He's the same. And He's promised us His presence. He'll never leave us. Look what the last part of verse 3 says. When He had by Himself Have you ever thought what it would be like to be alone? To be alone? That's what Jesus was. Hanging on the cross. The Bible says they all forsook Him and fled. When He had by Himself purged our sins, S-I-N-S, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You know, that's where Jesus is this morning. He is on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Again, some verses in Colossians say, Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? He's delivered us from sin, the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood. This is how He purged our sins. We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. The last part of verse 3 says that Jesus sat down. And this is exactly what Hebrews 10 and verse 12 says. It says, But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That's where Jesus is today. In fact, this is where Stephen saw Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, a cloud received Jesus out of their sight. And from that moment to this, we're living by faith, not by sight. And I'm glad for the sacrifice Jesus made for my salvation. Truly, I'd say today, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He deserves to be number one in this year, 1986. Because Paul said, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Paul said in Philippians 1:20, in closing our message today, he says, According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. there was once a couple that went for a meal one time when it was pouring down the snow. It was icy. You know, when they finally got home, after having a few narrow escapes, they thought how good it was to be home. The Daily Bread said it like this: heaven for the Christian is best spelled H-O-M-E. Home. Home. My prayer is that heaven is in your future. I trust you know this one that Hebrews is talking about. By himself he purged our sins. And the psalmist said he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. I trust you're on your way to Beulah Land. What a place heaven is. I believe heaven is as much a place as Airport Gardens is. Heaven is a place. And if we could see as Jesus sees today, it's untelling what would be in this room. I believe in angels. I sort of like to think that when a person is saved, God must dispatch an angel for that person. The Bible does say the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him and deliver them. Brother White was telling in the Sunday school class this morning about how the Lord has delivered him many times from death. My friend, we're going to stay here as long as he wants us to. And then we're going home. We're going home somewhere. I trust your home is heaven. Brother Tom is going to come and lead us in our invitation hymn, page 215. Let him have his way with thee. Page 215 as we stand to sing.